Grace Point family, welcome to our 12 o'clock service. You're watching with us online. If you are not a part of our church, thank you for joining us. Thank you for taking some time out of your day. And we really appreciate the opportunity to worship with y'all and just for you to be a part of our service today. Thank you so much also for your continued involvement and just encouragement as y'all send in encouragement and so on like that as we see one another in person, but also just emails and so on like that. So just continue to encourage one another also as your day goes, not only today, but each day moving forward. Just a quick update for y'all. My name is Chris Pope. I'm one of our pastors here at Grace Point Church. And Pastor Dave, our senior pastor, has taken some time off, but he will be back in the office tomorrow. And he also will be preaching next Sunday. So it'll be good to have Pastor Dave back in the pulpit and in around once again, because we dearly love him, and I know y'all do. So please join us next week as well at 8 and 10 in-person and online services. And then 12 o'clock service is online only. So we look forward to connecting with y'all, not only then, but most importantly today. And so thank you again for joining us. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, we're going to look at an account that may be familiar to everyone. You may have heard something about it, maybe in a reference before, but today we're going to kind of dive in real quick into an account that is critically important, I think, to each one of us in our lives, but also what I'm going to begin to unpack for y'all is the core foundation of one of our ministries here at Grace Point Church, and that is called the Pathways Ministry. And so as we go through this, if you have a pen, there's some outlines that are available on Facebook and so on. So if you have that printed off, get ready to start writing, and we'll dive right in to John chapter 4. So let me just introduce our text to you a little bit. In today's text and message, we're going to see that any one person can have a life changed with an encounter. When I say an encounter, not an encounter just only with another person, but more importantly with a Savior named Jesus. Because in this account, we're going to see where there was an intentional connection made with someone to someone. The with someone is Jesus. The to someone is to the Samaritan woman. And so notice I didn't say an accidental encounter. I didn't say by coincidence. Didn't say by chance. I didn't say, oh, it just so happened. But I said an intentional connection. And that's something that we choose to have many times is an intentional connection with somebody. That could be a friend, that could be a sister, that could be a brother, could be another family member, a spouse, a business person, another someone in your church, at a park, whatever, a sporting event, something along those lines, but you choose to have an encounter. And so Jesus chose to have an encounter with this woman. And one thing that I think is important to remember is that sometimes the intentionality of what we do has a greater impact than what we ever get to see. John Maxwell, a very famous leadership speaker, and he holds conferences around the world, shares the story of his father and a time when he was younger, when John and his brother Larry were still in their early 20s. And during this time, during the Korean War, John watched his father do something that made a great impact on his life. And what occurred was the Pueblo Crisis during the Korean War caused for new folks to be deployed over to Korea to go serve and fight during the Korean War. Well, John's dad and Larry's dad, Larry is the brother, called his son Larry in and said, "Larry, I'm going to pray for you every day at 9 a.m., regardless of what's going on. I'm going to intentionally put you before the throne of God to pray for your protection, to pray for your physical, emotional, and spiritual protection. And I'm going to pray that you come home. And during this time, as his son was deployed, and for those of you with military experience and or military being part of a military family, you know that that can be a really scary time, a time of uncertainty, a time of concern. But this dad committed to pray faithfully for his son at 9 a.m. every day, regardless of setting. So John goes on to say that he saw his dad at various times after his brother was deployed. He saw many times where his dad would interrupt his meeting, where he would get off his phone call, where he would walk out of the boardroom, but he would go into another spot and he would drop to his knees and he would put his son Larry before the throne of God. And during that time, his son was protected. And then fast forward several years, the war had ended, and now we're 17 years down the road. And this same Larry that his dad had prayed for a number of years, he continued to pray for him, walked into a church one day and asked the pastor, "Are you going to give an invitation? Because if you are, I want to be saved." And as a result, he accepted Jesus that day. After the church service, Larry reached out to his dad, the dad that had prayed for him faithfully for 17 years, and said, "Dad, I accepted Jesus, my Lord and Savior." So the commitment of a father, the commitment of one person to be intentional about praying for an individual, about being available for an individual, about being authentic to an individual is paramount to what we're going to talk about today. So if you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 4, and we have quite a few verses to go through. So I'm going to read the text in full, and then I'm going to come back and we're going to do a few takeaways, okay, during this time. So John chapter 4 says this, beginning in verse 5. "So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, 'Give me a drink,' for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, 'How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans.' And Jesus answered her, 'If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, "Give me a drink," you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water.' The woman said to him, 'Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock.' Jesus said to her, 'Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life.' The woman said to him, 'Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water.' And Jesus said to her, 'Go, call your husband and come here.' The woman answered him, 'I have no husband.' Jesus said to her, 'You are right in saying, "I have no husband," for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true.' The woman said to him, 'Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship.' And Jesus said to her, 'Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know the Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Just then his disciples came back, and they marveled that he was talking with a woman, but no one said, What do you seek? Or why are you talking with her? So the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? They went out of the town and were coming to him. And then let's skip down to verse 39 in the same chapter. In John 4:39 begins, Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. And they said to the woman, It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves. And we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. The interesting thing about that passage is it details an account with Jesus and a woman. But a couple of things I want to point out. Number one, the sixth hour. The sixth hour is high noon. And in that area, as it is in Texas, it's very hot usually at noon, especially in July of this year. And so the woman went to draw water because she was coming at a time when there were less people there. There may have not been anybody there other than her and Jesus. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. But she intentionally came later to not be seen or draw attention to herself because of how her life had unfolded and choices she had made. Jesus intentionally sat down with her as she came to the well and met her at that moment. So this is the same well that Jacob gave to Joseph and had been used for many years and is still being used to this day. And the well itself is 96 feet deep. So it's a good solid well, but at the same time, it's a chore to draw water out of and so on. So when the woman went to the well, she was coming for a practical purpose. So takeaway number one, I want to point out to you is Jesus was in the field. Jesus was in the field. What do I mean by that? Well, I mean that Jesus was out of where he normally was. Jesus never stayed inside of a building all the time. He went out into the field. He was among people. He was able to encounter people. And as he was able to encounter people, he was in the field where Jesus was on mission. Jesus was always on mission going somewhere, but he was also being very intentional about how he was trying to connect with people and also situations. And then something also that's important to look in verse 4, 5, and 6, chapter 4, verses 5 and 6 says this, is that where it says Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. So even Jesus became tired. So if anyone says you really aren't doing that much to be tired, give yourself permission to sit down and rest, because being on the mission field, it can be tiring, but just going through everyday life can do it. So if anyone says that you can't rest, just say it's in Scripture, okay? Takeaway number two, let's read verse 9. So John chapter 4, verse 9 says this. The Samaritan woman said to him, How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. The beautiful thing about this verse is this. Takeaway number two, Jesus met the Samaritan woman where she was in life. He met her where she was in life. Jesus encountered the woman. This woman was not really welcomed by much of her own society and community. And Jesus also recognized an opportunity that was presented with her situation. Of course, he already knew it anyway because he's God, so he already knew. But it's amazing how this encounter took place. So when Jesus met the Samaritan woman where she was in life, he also does that same thing to us. He meets us where we are in life, regardless of how much we think that we can handle it. He is with us because he promises to be with us, just like he was a woman. Okay, takeaway number three. Let's look at verses 11 through 14. Verse 11 reads, "The woman said to him, 'Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock.' And Jesus said to her, 'Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life.'" So takeaway number three. Just as Jesus addressed a question in those verses, we all have questions and long to understand. Jesus gives us the answers we need. The Samaritan woman dialogued with Jesus. Remember, the Samaritans and the Jews really didn't have that much to do with one another. But the Samaritan woman was dialoguing with Jesus, and Jesus made a distinction between the type of water that she was seeking and then the water that he was offering, which was eternal life. And then let's jump down to verse 16 through 18. We'll look at that. And verse 16 reads, "Jesus said to her, 'Go call your husband and come here.' The woman answered him, 'I have no husband.' Jesus said to her, 'You are right in saying, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true.'" So Jesus listened. Takeaway number four, Jesus listened, was available, and was authentic. And if you think about what you look for in a friend, it's someone who's available, who will listen to you, who's authentic, who's honest, who's truthful, and also someone who is who they say they are, loyal. Jesus was demonstrating all of these qualities to her. So takeaway number four, Jesus listened, was available, and was authentic. Years ago, an S-4 submarine was rammed by a ship off the Massachusetts coast and sunk rather quickly to the point where the crew was going to have a really tough time being rescued. During this encounter, the Navy attempted many rescues of this crew, but ultimately they failed in being able to rescue the crew. One of the last attempts made to make contact with the crew and also with anyone to see if there are any survivors, there was a deep sea diver, and he thought that he had heard a little tapping as he went around the submarine. And as he listened closer, he put his helmet directly onto the side of the submarine. And he heard something like that, but he recognized it as Morse code. And Morse code in the military is widely used, or was widely used years ago. As he listened to the Morse code being tapped by somebody inside the sub, the message being tapped out in Morse code said this: "Is there any hope?" Unfortunately, all the crew on that submarine perished. But what Jesus was giving to this woman, to the Samaritan woman in this encounter, he was giving her hope. He was giving her an eternal hope that only he could provide. So let's jump down to verse 26. Let's jump down to verse 26 quickly. And verse 26 says this: "Jesus said to her, 'I who speak to you am he.'" So sometimes we have questions that we don't totally understand, but Jesus helps us to understand in his own way and his own timing. Jesus helps us to understand in his own way and his own timing. Jesus confirmed her question and was building trust. So if you look at the beginning of the encounter, when Jesus met her at the well and sat down with her to where they're at now, there's a lot of trust being built and so on through dialogue, through presence, but also through understanding. And then if you look at the next verse, verse 27, it also says, just then his disciples came back and they marveled that he was talking with a woman, but no one said, what do you seek, or why are you talking with her? So the disciples, rather than questioning Jesus, they decided to be quiet, which was kind of a good thing, because there was something special taking place. There was an eternal conversation taking place. And while the disciples were there, the woman was witnessing. And the woman left her water jar. Next verse says the woman left her water jar and went away. So she forgot her need for the physical water because she was overcome by the truth of what she was being told by Jesus. And then takeaway number 7. Let's look down at verses 39 through 42. Verse 39 says, many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. And they said to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this indeed is the Savior of the world. And takeaway number 7. An authentic encounter can change your life, your church, and your community, one person at a time. The Bible says that many Samaritans believed because of the Samaritan woman's testimony, but also many more believed because of his word. And then takeaway number 8, the last one. The greatest ministry I have is my presence. The greatest ministry I have is my presence. Jesus gave the Samaritan woman his presence. Jesus also stayed 2 days and gave the community his presence. To this day, he gives us his presence. He promises he will give us his presence. What I've given to you in this text is the core foundation of the Pathways Ministry, meeting people where they are, meeting folks at a point in life where many times things may seem hopeless. People may not see a need, but they have a need. But at the same time, we have a ministry here at Grace Point Church called Pathways. And the mission of Pathways is to serve Jesus Christ by serving others, sharing our greatest gift, the love of Jesus Christ, to the family of Grace Point Church and beyond the walls of our church by living out the gospel through the ministry of presence and availability as we walk in love with those facing uncertainty, sickness, family struggles, life-changing news, a sudden loss, a death of a loved one, or other unforeseen circumstances by sharing the gifts given by God individually by those called and equipped by life to serve and walk with those in need. Every one of us has a point in our life where we will need someone to walk with us. And if you're honest with yourself, there have been people that have walked with you in your life at a time of need that you may not have totally felt the need for. It might be a friend. It might be a family member. You might have lost your job. You might have some concerns about the health going on in our country. You might have concerns about the economy. You might have concerns about your salvation. You might have concerns after you lose someone you love. Where do I go from here? What Pathways does is Pathways points people to Jesus. Pathways comes alongside, meets people where they are, and walks with them with the help of Jesus Christ. Our church actually grows larger by growing smaller with one another. What do I mean by that? What I mean is we walk with people in Pathways that are at a time of their lives where they need someone to know that they're cared for. They need to know that, yes, I'm loved. They may need to know I have hope. And this may be people in our church. It may be someone you know. You may know someone in your family who's been affected by COVID. You may know someone who's affected by job loss. You yourself may have been affected by some sort of relationship diversity. You may have been affected by any sort of setback. Well, Pathways doesn't fix everything, but what Pathways does is it allows people to walk with you. And each one is gifted differently. Rick Warren says this. He says, your spiritual gifts were not given for your own benefit, but for the benefit of others, just as other people were given gifts for your benefit. You have gifts that other people do not have. You have life experiences that other people do not have. I have life experiences that other people do not have. But that's the beauty of this. Through our life experiences, it equips us to walk with other people. And as we are equipped to walk, we have to be willing to walk with other people. And sometimes that's hard to say, yes, I will do that. But at the same time, I want to challenge you to think back to a time in your life when you needed someone in your life, maybe just to say, hey, I'm with you. How do we do this? Well, serving and impacting our Grace Point family and our community is rolled out in 10 steps. First of all, our foundation is through the lens of the gospel, God's holy word. We pull our approach straight out of John chapter 4, of how Jesus sat down with the woman at the well and met her where she was in life. Number two, we have pathway care providers, each one different, gifted differently with different spiritual gifts that have gone through a rigorous training, and they've come out of it and they're ready to serve. Each one gifted differently. Notice that we are not all the same. Thirdly, a need and opportunity is voiced. If you see an opportunity, if you just need someone to come alongside you, that's voicing an opportunity. Let us know. Let our church know. Then once that need is met, we cover it in prayer. We begin praying for that need. We begin praying for the opportunity that you present. And then the next step is we have a conversation. I will reach out to you and we'll have an encounter. It could be an in-person conversation, could be a phone conversation. But this way you'll tell me a little bit about you, what's going on. And then we'll make a connection with the care provider that's equipped to walk with you through your situation. A plan is developed. We develop a plan of care for the situation, however long that is, it all varies by design of the situation and the problem. And then a journey begins. The journey, your journey, your caregiver's journey, and our prayer journey continues for you as well. Lives touched and changed as a result of the efforts of the caregiver and also yourself or whoever you point to Pathways. And then most importantly, the Lord receives the glory. It's all about God's glory. It's all about what he receives. Because remember, we were put on this earth to worship him. We're going to share a video here, and I think the video will kind of sum up exactly what we're talking about. And as you watch this video, I want you to think about two things. First of all, I want you to think about the encounter of John chapter 4, and do you understand? Can you relate with someone sitting down with you and meeting you where you are? And as a result of that, and if you can, as a result of that encounter with this person or people, were you changed? And how were you changed? And has that allowed you to walk with someone else? So let's watch a video and then I'll come back.
It begins with openness, the willingness to come alongside someone else, to pour out, care, invest. It's about sharing the journey, doing life together, growing, forging, becoming. It's about selflessness, caring enough to walk through the valley, even when it's painful, to love people as Christ has loved us. It's rejoicing when they rejoice, hurting when they hurt, being a hand, an encourager, a friend. We were not created to wander alone. For as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another.
Iron sharpens iron. That sums up the ministry of Pathways. Because we are all a work in progress. We all have rough edges. We all have things that make us not always available for the right for the wrong situation, but our experiences make us available for the right situation. And sometimes that situation involves someone you may not know everything about. But just like Jesus, he had the understanding of who this woman was even before they encountered one another. But the way that he engaged her, the way that he sat down and he met her where she was, this is what the Ministry of Pathways does. We sit down and we meet with people where they are in life. And there are times when all of us need someone to sit with us and encounter us. Maybe just listen to us. One of the things in closing that I'd like to share with you is a quote from one of my favorite people, and that's Mr. Rogers, Fred Rogers, who's now with the Lord. But he said this. He said, "The Holy Spirit translates our best efforts into what needs to be communicated to that person in his or her place of need." It's not by chance that you're watching this service. It's not by chance that you just happen to log on. It's not by chance that you are where you are in life. Because there's a holy God that loves you, just like the woman at the well. He loves you enough to meet you where you are. One of the things that's very, very important to remember, not only about Pathways, but just as a very foundational truth, is that what we feel we can hide from Jesus about our present or our past, he already knows. He desires a relationship with each one of us. And one thing I wanted to be sure to challenge all of us for, and if you're watching online, you may be watching church for the first time. You may be watching a service that someone referred you to. There may be a time where you do, I just happened to do this. But at the same time, there's a truth that I want to present to you. And I want to give you an opportunity to make a decision that will be the most important decision of your life. And you may not understand all the ins and the outs, but I would like to share the truth of the gospel with you. So many times we look at ourselves and we just feel like I'm never going to be good enough. I've done too much. I've sinned too much. There's too many things in my past that I have done that will keep me. How could a holy God love me? Well, the scripture says some truth that I'm going to share with you that totally contradicts that line of thinking. Scripture says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but will have eternal life." He doesn't say might have eternal life. It says will have eternal life. And all of us can kind of grasp onto that. God so loved the world that he gave. He didn't say that you have to earn. He says that he gave his only Son. And then Paul writes later in Romans 3:23. He says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Notice it doesn't say "for some have sinned." It says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And we are all part of that all. Each one of us makes up the all. But then Paul writes in Romans 6:23, he says this. He says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." And just like we looked at in John chapter 4, the Samaritan woman's encounter with Jesus gave her an eternal hope that she had not heard before. She did not know about. She might have known something about what was to come, but she did not meet Jesus until this day. And then lastly, Paul goes on to write in Romans that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Lots of people know about God. We know with our minds, but we believe with our hearts. If you're passionate about something, if you're compassionate about something, it's because you care about it. And that comes from your heart. We care with our hearts. And so knowing that, all you have to do is make a very simple confession. Simple confession, a very important decision. I'm going to pray in just a second. And if you feel led to join me, please do. I invite you to do that. Because we deeply care about you, but we also deeply care about your eternal future. But most importantly, Jesus cares about your eternal future. So if you would, just pray with me. Lord Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I have sinned, and I don't know what to do. But today, I confess with my mouth, and I believe in my heart that you, Jesus, are God, and that you are who I need. I thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I thank you for raising from the dead, and I thank you for paying the price with your sinless blood. And today, I ask you to come into my heart and take over my life, Lord Jesus. Lord, I don't know everything, but I want to know you. Please take over my life. And I pray this in your name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, my friend, and you meant that from your heart, you are now a member of the family of God. And you, like the woman at the well, have an eternal hope that only Jesus Christ can provide. In closing, if you'd like more information about Pathways Ministries, my email address is chris@gracepointdenton.com, or you reach out to the church. I would love to hear from you. If you know, learn more about ministries, but if we can serve you, let us know. Let us know. We'd love to connect with you. And if you pray with me today and made a decision to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we would love to hear and be honored to hear from you on that. Please reach out to us at ihavedecided@gmail.com. That's ihavedecided@gmail.com. And one of our pastoral staff will reach out to you, introduce ourselves to you, and begin our journey with you. Next Sunday, Pastor Dave will be back. We'll be back in person services at 8 and 10, and then online services at noon. So please join us. We look forward to seeing you at Grace Point, and invite a friend. God bless y'all. Have a great day.